Wow, thank you so much to Kev and the team for leading us so well this morning. Didn't you enjoy the time of worship? Maybe I'm getting old, but I still say you can't beat some of those old hymns, man. Those things are powerful. So thank you so much, Kev, for leading us so well. What a joy. Wow, here's a little gift. I'm hoping it's for me. And lo and behold, it is for Ross. Just kidding, it's for me. Ross got his hopes up. Folks, just to let you know, it is Marge's memorial service on Tuesday, as Kevin said. If I can ask the cell groups, if you wouldn't mind trying to organize for 3 plates of eats per group to help us with the catering, that'll be wonderful as we celebrate Marge's life, 101, on Tuesday morning. Just so wonderful to see Anne Delaray with us this morning. Anne had her knee replaced, was in hospital for a while in rehabilitation. Anne, I can't believe you're in church already. So good to see you. Welcome to you. Great to see Owen Meyer as well. I saw Owen this past week in St. Dom's battling with his breathing. Owen's here this morning. Good to see you, Owen. Dierwart Els, wave to me, my friend. Where are you? He's at the back there. Folk, I don't always encourage you to turn around and look at someone. But this man, I'm changing his name from Dierwald to Lazarus, because he was in ICU for, I'm guessing, 10 weeks plus. He's a miracle man. God has got his hand upon Dierwald. Dierwald, we prayed for you. You kept our prayer lives active. And Antheline, Mom, you have been a pillar of strength. We're proud of the both of you, and so good to see you both in the service this morning. Welcome to you. Greetings from Tony Pods. Tony was hoping to be out of hospital on Friday. He's been in the Freer now for six weeks. But lo and behold, at the last minute, something else went wrong with his foot. And so he's there for another week. So 7 weeks in the Freer. Tony sends lots of love, lots of greetings to the church. You can just imagine being in his shoes. 7 weeks in hospital is never easy. So we think of him especially this morning as well. All right, well, next week we continue with our top 10 series, but today I wanted to share a message with you as we launch the new term, which actually I saw in a dream, if you can imagine it, in Hogsback, and the title that I saw in my dream was Building According to God's Design, and I thought I'd share that with you this morning. And I want to begin with two quick illustrations. For those of you who know me, you know I've got some strengths, but also some glaring weaknesses. One of my glaring weaknesses is DIY. If you've got some renovations or some even a light bulb to be changed, Mark Roebuck's your man, but not Mark Morrell. However, from time to time, I do give it a bash, literally a bash. And I had the great idea a couple of years ago of building us some new bookshelves. Bookshelves. And so I went to the hardware shop, and I bought myself what seemed to be a very easy to do, easy to put together bookshelf. And it came with instructions, albeit in Turkish, but the instructions were there as to how to build this bookshelf well. And of course, me being the DIY expert, I thought, let me ignore the instructions. This is a very simple thing to put together. How can you possibly go wrong with this bookshelf? And I tell you, I built it. And I stood back and I actually admired the end result. I gave myself a pat on the back and I said, Mark, you are an expert. This is a fantastic bookshelf. Well, that evening to celebrate, I invited our Turkish neighbors around for tea. As they walked into the living room, they just stopped and stared. Sami said, the man said, what is this? I said, no, this is my bookshelf. He said, who built it? I said, no, I built it. He said, Mark, but the wood's the completely wrong way around. It doesn't even look right. And I tell you, I became the ridicule of my apartment building. Here was a man who couldn't even put together a simple bookshelf, even when he had the design. Keep that illustration in mind. It's going to serve a purpose as we go along. The second illustration is a more somber one. In the 20th century, the greatest earthquake to ever strike Turkey happened on the 19th of August, 1999, where 40,000 people died in 36 seconds as a 7.8 magnitude quake hit Istanbul and surrounding areas and buildings collapsed. But the tragedy was, as they researched the earthquake, they discovered that many of the buildings that collapsed simply collapsed because the foundations were flawed and the building material was substandard. And so keep those two illustrations in mind. I built my shelves according to the wrong design. The buildings that collapsed because of poor foundations and the wrong building material. And so my challenge for today is, as we launch the new term, how's the design of your life looking? How's the foundation of your life doing? Is it solid? Is it stable? Or is it showing signs of weakness and instability? Because what we're going to see is what we've built in the different areas of our lives will be tested. Every facet, every aspect of your life will be tested when? When the storms of life arrive, and arrive they will. And so with that in mind, let's turn in God's Word to the book of Matthew chapter 7 and read from verse 24 to 27. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Let's see what Jesus has to say about foundations. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. The rain came, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet, it did not fall because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Father, thank you for these words of incredible wisdom. I pray that as we look to build our lives and to build our futures, Lord, you'd help us to be wise builders, building according to your blueprint, and according to the master builder's plan. Give us insight, give us understanding, and give us the desire to obey your word this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Very interesting parable. We see two builders, we see two buildings, we see two foundations, and we see two different outcomes. The wise builder, let's begin with him. The wise builder was wise. Why? Did you notice in the text? The wise builder was wise because he heard the words of Jesus and put them into practice. Let's have a look at what it says to remind ourselves. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, there's your key phrase, is like a wise man who built his house upon a rock. So both builders, as you notice, heard the same words. They both heard the words of Jesus. But what differentiated the wise man from the foolish man was that the wise man acted upon what he heard. That was the difference. And so, when you look at that verse, what word specifically was Jesus talking about? Jesus was talking about the words he had just spoken in what is commonly called the Sermon on the Mount. It's a famous sermon, and I preached a series on this last year called Jesus Unplugged. A series that covers three chapters of the Bible and covers every aspect of life. Some people refer to that speech as maybe the greatest speech ever given in the history of the world. And Jesus says that the wise man will take those words that I've spoken and he will carefully apply them to every aspect of life, while the foolish man hears the same teaching, but he chooses to ignore it. And so this is the challenge for this morning. In our case, of course, we weren't part of the live audience when Jesus preached that sermon all those years ago. That would have been a great privilege, but we weren't there. But what we do have is we have the entire Word of God available today at our disposal. Not just three chapters of Matthew, but the whole book. From Genesis to Revelation, we got the mind of God, the wisdom of God, the insight of God, the blueprint of God for every facet of life. We've got different translations. We've got the Bible on our phones, on our iPads, on our computers. We have the Word of God accessible to us. But the challenge is, are we taking what we read and what we hear, and are we applying it? That makes us wise. Now, just for a moment, do some evaluation. Think about all the sermons you've heard over the years. Think about all the Christian books you've read. Think about all the devotions you've had. You've been exposed to God's Word on multiple levels, on multiple occasions. Now, my challenge to you is this. If you look at the parable, can you say, Mark, I'm more like the wise man than I am like the foolish man? Because over the years, I've taken what I've heard in church, I've taken what I've read in terms of my own personal devotions, the books I've read, I've taken all that collective wisdom, I've taken all those blueprints for different facets of life, and I've diligently applied them. I've built my life according to God's design, according to God's blueprint. That, the Bible says, equals wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom begins with hearing, but true wisdom, listen to this, is applied knowledge. This is critical. True wisdom is applied knowledge. True wisdom is taking what you know and applying that knowledge to your life. You see, we're very good at hearing, but we're not very good at doing. The wise man hears and the wise man does. Even in the simple areas of life, we sometimes fall short. We know what we should eat to keep healthy, but do we always do it? Lenny? No. We know we should exercise, but do we always do it, Rubble? No. And so even in the simple areas of life, we don't get this principle right. We know what we should be doing. But the challenge comes to when it becomes an action plan, applying what we know to our to the different facets of our life. The wise man hears, the wise man acts. The biblical word for action in the Christian life is obedience. The wise man hears, the wise man does. That equals obedience. Proverbs says this. Proverbs 1 verse 5, let the wise man listen and add to their learning. What do they add to their learning? Obedience. That's what they add. Intentionally applying God's word to every single aspect of our lives. I put a post on Facebook this morning, which I really believe in, and I said something like this. I said, even though it may not always be easy, it may not always be popular, and it may sometimes be considered countercultural, I still choose to apply God's blueprint to every facet of my life because I know that He's the master builder. I know that His wisdom is better than my wisdom. I know that His design is better than my design. And so I choose to build my marriage, to raise my children, to lead this church, to manage my finances according to God's design, according to His blueprint, and all on the solid, immovable rock of Jesus Christ. On Christ, the solid rock we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. The wise man does that. Before he builds, he consults the master architect. He says, Lord, I'm building a marriage. I'm raising my children. I'm facing retirement. I'm managing resources. I'm living in the corporate, testing corporate environment. Lord, how do I build all these different aspects of my life according to your design? What is your blueprint? And Lord, I intentionally act upon those words and build according to that design. That's the wise man. Well, the house that Jesus mentions obviously represents many things. We're all building something. We're all building lives. Some of us are building marriages. We're building families. We're building relationships. We're building businesses, we're building retirements, we're building a church. So in your context, that house Jesus speaks about can refer to anything in your context. Now, what does the rock refer to? The rock, in the original Greek word, is the word Petra. P-E-T-R-A. And it literally means in English, a bed of rock or a bedrock. And so what's Jesus saying? He's saying the wise man will build his life in his different facets, not on sandy ground, but he'll build his life upon a bedrock, upon the Petra of Jesus Christ and his words. Powerful statement. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, Paul amplifies the same idea where he says this. He said, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building upon it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Folk, I want to tell you right now, and I spoke about this at a wedding yesterday as well, that what you build, I promise you right now, in every facet of your life will be tested. Many people in this church can say, Mark, I relate to that. Even as we speak, I've been tested in certain areas of my life. What you build will be tested when? When the sun shines? No. What you've built will be tested when the storms of life arrive, and arrive they will. Just ask Dierwald and Anthony. Just ask Tony Potts. Just ask Clyde, who lost his beautiful wife a week or so ago to cancer. You can bet your bottom dollar as life enjoys its ups, you'll also experience the downs, the mountaintops and the valleys. And what you've built will be exposed, will be tested when the storms of life arrive. Jesus says in John chapter 16, verse 33, he says, I've told you these things that you may have peace. Listen to this very carefully. In this world, in this journey of life, you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. You see, what I love about Jesus is he's a realist. He doesn't promise you that you will go through this life unscathed. He doesn't promise you that as you navigate your journey, you will never experience trouble or tribulation or hardship. In fact, the opposite. He says, in this world, you will have trouble, but be encouraged. I've overcome the world. That word will is a very important word. He says, it's not a possibility. You may have trouble. It's a certainty there will be seasons of hardship and trouble each one of us will experience. And you know what? It comes in different forms, in different seasons of our lives. For some, that hardship may represent financial hardship. Many in our church have experienced what it feels like to lose a job. Many in our church have experienced what it feels like to need a handout, to need a gift from the care cupboard because you can't put food on the table, a sudden retrenchment, the break of your cash flow, and all of a sudden you can't pay your bills. Financial hardship is a real issue for people in our day and age. What about a relational crisis? We've seen this multiple times in Ganubi. Marriages you thought, you hoped would last a lifetime because of this reason or another have crumbled and fallen apart. Some in this church have experienced the betrayal of a spouse, the horror of adultery. You never thought it would happen to you, but it has. A relational storm, a relational crisis presented itself. For others, it's been sickness. One day you're healthy, the next day you're diagnosed, as Chalky was, with a serious illness, and you face a road of chemotherapy and radiation. I think of Tony Pods again this morning, 6 weeks lying in the Freer Hospital. I think of Dierwald, multiple weeks, months in St. Dominic's. What a crisis. One moment you're healthy, the next moment you're sick. This is something all of us may face at some stage. What about a bereavement? Your life is rocked by the death of a spouse, the death of a child, the death of a friend. Think of Clyde Fisher, who's here this morning. Maybe a year ago, 12 months ago, his wife was healthy and happy. 12 months later, she's passed away through the devastating disease of cancer. That rocks your life. That rocks your family. These things are real, folk, and Jesus doesn't try and hoodwink you and say everything will be fine all the time. He says, no, in this world you can experience, you will experience seasons of trouble. The question is, what are you building your life upon? When those seasons come, will your foundation stand, or will it be exposed as being built on sand? I love the descriptive language Jesus uses in verse 25. Just look at the words carefully. He says, the rain came, the streams rose, winds blew, beat against that house. Descriptive language. I've seen people face the same storm and yet respond in two completely different ways. This is an amazing thing. You've got two human beings facing exactly the same circumstance, facing exactly the same storm, yet they respond to that storm in two completely different ways. Why? Because they're operating from different foundations. One comes through that storm better, full of faith. The other comes out angry and bitter and broken. Different foundations. For some, these scriptures are scriptures they can relate to. And if one of them resonates with you, you can shout out and say, man, that's my one. I won't be offended. My dad's not here this morning. He normally does it, so you can take his place. So for some, these are scriptures. As you look back over your life and the storms you faced, you can say, mark that scripture or a scripture like that one was what got me through my time. For example, Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Wow. There's a scripture for somebody this morning. What about Psalm 46, verse 1 to 3? These were the exact words I used at Yvonne's funeral last weekend. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, the mountains fall into the depths of the sea. Isn't that amazing? God is somebody's refuge and strength this morning. You may be going through something similar to what I've described. I want to speak those words into your context. God is your refuge and strength this morning. God is your ever-present help in times of trouble. Do not be afraid. The mountains may fall, the earth may give way. God will remain, and he will be faithful to you. What about Proverbs 18, verse 10? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Where do we run to when the storms of life arrive? We run to the strong name of Jesus Christ. The storms may be big, but he is bigger. The storms may be powerful, but he is more powerful. The righteous run to him, and they are safe. You see, my friends, when you make the wise decision to build your life, to build your house on Jesus Christ and his word, you can withstand anything. Did you hear that? You can withstand anything. Because you've built on something solid, something immovable, the foundation of Jesus Christ and his word. What about the other builder in verse 26 that Jesus describes as foolish? He says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The Greek word for fool is the word moros, M-O-R-O-S. We get the English word? Thank you, Russell. I believe it's highlighted in your Bible, if I'm not mistaken. That's where we get the word from. And Jesus says, when you are exposed to God's truth, when you have access to God's blueprint for life, and yet for some foolish reason you choose to ignore God's design, to ignore his blueprint, and like I did with my cupboard, build it your own way, you are acting in a place of utter foolishness and ridicule. Man, I felt like a moron when that Turkish family arrived at my house and disdained what I'd made. I was the fool. I had the instructions. I had the design. I chose to ignore them and to do it my way. The result was ridicule. And folk, Jesus says, when you are exposed like you are this morning, you've got access to the mind of God about marriage. You've got access to the mind of God about finance. You've got access to the wisdom of God about raising children. The mind of God about money and retirement and death. And yet you still choose to ignore that wisdom and build according to your own design. You are a fool. Foolishness. Why would you do that? Ignore the master builder. Ignore his design and live life and design life your way. That is utter foolishness according to Jesus. James 1:22 says this, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word and does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like." Isn't the word of God practical and sometimes comical? You see what James is saying there, if I can paraphrase it. He's saying it's not how many scriptures you have underlined or highlighted in your Bible. It's not how many scriptures you've memorized over the years. It's not how many sermons you've heard that counts. What counts is, are you taking the wisdom that you've heard over the years and are you applying that wisdom to your life? That's the key. We've got to be acting upon what we hear and not just being exposed to sermons week after week after week after week. A couple of years ago, maybe 18 months ago, if you come to my home, which is next door here, I've got a braai area outside, which I used last night to braai some delicious meat. But over that braai area was a dilapidated green roof. And I'd seen that roof there for a period of 3 years, and I'd seen cracks begin to emerge in that roof. And what went through my mind was, when the west wind starts to blow, as it does in Ganubi, really hard, there's going to come a time when those cracks will be exposed and that roof's going to disappear to black rock. But did I do anything about it? No. Lo and behold, the west wind, to beat all west winds, arrived in Ganubi. And to my utter astonishment, I saw my green roof lift off like a rocket ship and disappear over Bobby Petz's house. It went straight over Bobby Petz's house like a missile and crashed into the rocks of Black Rock. My design, my lack of wisdom was exposed. I'd eat humble pie and go knock on Mr. Mike Roebuck's door, who's a specialist builder, and say, "Mike, please, can you build me a stronger awning?" And that's exactly what he did. And we've had major storms since that time. Mike Roebuck's design stands the test of time. He's a master builder. Friends, I'm telling you this in closing because when that west wind begins to blow against your life, the cracks in your design, the flaws in your wisdom, your lack of care to building on a solid foundation will be exposed. And so the challenge of today is to be preemptive. Not reactive, preemptive. Now before the wind starts blowing, now before the earthquake arrives, take the time to build wisely. Take the time to relay your foundations if necessary. Build according to God's design, because you know what? If your foundation is not exposed in this life, or your building materials in this life, the reality is they will be exposed on that day. How do I know that? Look at the Bible says as we close this morning. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, ore, wood, hay, and straw, their work will be exposed for what it is. Because that day, capital D, will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire. One day I'll present my life, my marriage, my children, my church, my business to God. All that I've built over these years of being alive. All that I've poured my life into over the years, I'll present it to the master builder. And you will test that work with fire. And either to reveal gold, silver, precious stones. Or in one moment, all I've spent my life building, giving myself to, in a moment is gone. Nothing had eternal value. What a challenge. And so as we close this morning, may this question be a question you take home with you and reflect upon. How is your foundation doing? Is it strong? Is it stable? Or is it showing signs of weakness? You know what the great thing is? We sung about it this morning. We sung about amazing grace. Guys, it's never too late to start again. Don't lose hope. Don't give up. Maybe God's shown you this morning you've built according to the wrong design. You've laid the wrong foundation. Don't give up. There's grace available today to lay a new foundation, to build according to a new design. And guess what? Experience a totally different outcome. May God give each one of us, including myself, the wisdom to build according to His design on a solid, immovable rock of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray together. It's always good at the end of a challenging word like that to just give each one of us an opportunity, you know, for a few moments just to think in a place of quietness, to evaluate and maybe to determine in our hearts to make some changes where necessary. So just in these moments, I want you to consider the different facets of your life. Be ruthlessly honest with yourself and say, Lord, am I building according to your design? And number two, am I building on a solid, strong bedrock, the Petra of Jesus Christ? Remember, it's never too late to start over. That's the great hope of the Christian faith. There's grace available to help you today, to relay your foundations, to break down your flimsy structure, to rebuild with good materials according to God's design. Father, thank you for the wisdom of your word. You are the master builder, Lord Jesus. You are the Petra, the bedrock. All other ground we recognize is sinking sand. Lord, I pray for my dear friends here at the church this morning that you would help them to be ruthlessly honest and to evaluate carefully every facet of their lives. Have they built wisely according to your design? Have they taken the care to lay a strong, immovable foundation, that being Jesus Christ? For Lord, we want to be ready for that day when what we've built will be exposed and tested by fire. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your grace Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. We choose to live our lives your way, for your glory, and for your honor. In Jesus' great and wonderful name we pray. Amen.